Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams here doing like the dude just said, hosting Right Side Radio. Solid and conservative and, yep, just plain right. Going to go to the phones now. I got one of my favorite people on the line, somebody who calls into the show periodically. State Representative Connie Rowe has been representing House District 13, Lucky 13, and she's a Republican elected official down there from Walker County. But she also previously worked in law enforcement as a criminal investigator for the Walker County DA's office and was the police chief for Jasper when she was elected in 2014. She and I also have the notoriety of both having been interviewed to replace Jeff Sessions by the governor, only to be supplanted by Luther Strange. How'd that work out? All right, folks, my friend Connie Rowe. Hey, Connie, how you doing?
What an introduction, Phil. That's fantastic.
Well, you know, treating you right because you're also about to be very soon the senior advisor to the lieutenant governor, and that's, you know, like, that's big doings, Connie, so we got to take care of you.
Well, I'm pretty sure they're only calling me senior because I'll be the oldest person in the office. But I'll take it, regardless of the reason. I'll take it.
Well, you can tase every one of them. So just don't even think twice about it.
But, that's right. That's right.
Hey, listen, we joke around, but I was on a serious topic right for the top of the hour. I introed part of what you and I are going to talk about here for a few minutes, and that's the fact that. Our men and women in blue, and you spend a lot of time in that community, lost one of their own again this past weekend, Sergeant Nick Reiser from Sheffield, which is right here in this listening area, basically gunned down by a guy who should have still been in prison. And have no idea how we can justify the sentencing that allowed someone who murdered his own father to be out in 3 years. But, Connie, we just saw this special session, and I'd like to hear your thoughts on that bill that passed in special session that dealt with sentencing reform.
Well, you know, prison sentencing reform is the least favorite subject of mine because we already have in the state a horrible circumstance with truth in sentencing. We don't even have to walk down that road. You and I both know somebody gets sentenced to 20, they're going to do 7. They get sentenced to 10, they're going to do 30. That's just a fact. That's how things have worked in Alabama for a very long time. A couple of years ago, I had the privilege of carrying a bill that revamped the Board of Pardon and Parole. And currently, for the past 2 years and currently, people are not getting turned out left and right. But the history in our state of how we have turned people out is one thing. 81% of everyone who's locked up in an Alabama prison today in the state of Alabama is a violent offender. 81%. So people who are not violent offenders aren't going to do a lot of time in jail. They're going to be out on good time. You're going to see them, you know, sooner than later. But any criminal reform package or bill that passes now is dealing with a leniency for violent criminals. I'm opposed to that. I feel for the officer's family and for his department. When I was the police chief and I went to roll call, the last thing I told the folks who worked for me was, let me tell you what's most important. What's most important is that you go home to your family at the end of your shift. Mm. And I feel that way very, very strongly.
Yeah.
This person would have been out a year earlier if the bill that was passed on Friday were applied to his sentence. I think it's wrong. I'm opposed to those bills. You know, we don't talk about what goes on in caucus, but I can talk about how I feel and what I've said and done. And I talked to my caucus prior to this bill coming down. I understand why it was on the call. There were people who would only vote for prison construction if there was some prison reform. I understand why it made its way to the calendar and to the floor. People needed an opportunity to vote. We have a Republican stronghold in the House and in the Senate. I mistakenly assumed that we would vote this down because the conservative thing to do is to back the blue and is to keep bad people segregated from the rest of us who know how to follow the rules and behave.
Yeah,
was not well the, put. Was not the circumstance.
Well, let me jump in there and ask you, Connie. So, for the benefit of the audience, describe what this was. Senate Bill or House Bill 2, carried by State Representative Jim Hill, who himself is a retired judge, and you would think, them being a retired judge, that he might be someone who would understand the processes and be less inclined to lighten the sentences, so to speak. But nonetheless, describe how the bill worked, what it was, and how that applies to our situation right now with the loss of Sergeant Reisner.
My understanding is that the bill would allow violent offenders to be released prior to their end of sentence, something that's referred to as EOS, that 12 months prior to their EOS date, their end of sentence date, that they would be released, that they would wear some kind of electronic monitoring device, and that they would be monitored. No idea where those monitors come from, no idea who's responsible for that monitoring, no price tag on how much that was going to cost, but that they would be released. Their argument for the bill was, look, we have a recidivism problem, and we'll always have a recidivism problem. There are ways to reduce it, but I don't think an ankle monitor has anything to do with rehabilitation whatsoever. But that they would be monitored, that we could lock them back up if for some reason they did something they weren't supposed to do. So this is the most horrible common example I can give you of that. I am, let's say, in our imaginary story, a domestic violence victim. There's a man who's a domestic violence offender. I've testified against him. He tells me the whole time he's in jail he's going to kill me. And they release him 12 months early. They put an ankle monitor on him. Let's say the ankle monitor works, and when he goes into an area not supposed to be, somewhere there's an alarm, and someone's notified of that. By the time that there's any kind of enforcement response, I'm laying dead in my front yard. So what good? Yeah. What good have you done? You prove that he does it. He's the one that did it. That's all you can do is track their location. You can't you can't bring somebody back to life. You can't deter them in any way for somebody who's determined to do something like that. So that's my understanding of the bill, that it had to do with 12 months early, an ankle monitor. And I'd rather him EOA. I'd rather him stay in jail and save everybody 12 months of having to deal with it before they serve their sentence.
Well, and that's exactly right. One of the things that I question there is the idea that they needed what I read in one article. I think Representative Hill presented it as an opportunity to phase them into society. And I think that's crap, basically. I think the reality is, phasing into society, I mean, they all know they're going to get out at some point. And once they're out, they're out. Ankle monitor or no, what are we phasing at that point? And all we're doing there is trying to reduce the amount of prison beds that are filled. And I think, like you said, it puts people at risk. It heightens the tension that the victim's rights are not being considered. And I think this was something that didn't need to be in a special session. And I question that altogether.
Well, you know, this is how I think in terms of things, is why do we do what we do? Why do we have crime? Why do we have police officers that enforce them? Why do we have grand juries that place indictments or judges that issue warrants? Why do we go to trial? Why do we say we're going to lock them up? Why do we send them to prison if ultimately what we're going to do is look for ways to empty the prisons? That's not the solution to anything. There are some forms of rehabilitation that absolutely would give someone the greatest opportunity to not come back. Job training, I don't mind that at all. ID so they get a job when they're released, I don't have a problem with that. There are some things that can be done in an attempt to reduce someone reoffending. But letting them out early with an ankle monitor is of no value whatsoever than to do exactly what you're talking about, free some bed space up in the prison system. And that's just ludicrous to me. Why do we have a criminal justice system if what we're trying to do is help people spend the least amount of time as possible? If you've got a criminal, you got to take care of that criminal. That's what has to happen. I think that the construction is going to aid in that. I think that we're going to make them safer places to work. I think that we're going to create some spaces in which some of those rehabilitative efforts can occur. But I am opposed to any reform issue, which the reform issues were initiated during the Obama administration. That's when DOJ started giving people grants to let people out of jail and figure out ways to get people out of jail sooner. There are some states in the United States in which college educations are afforded to criminals. Well, do I think that's a bad thing? I don't think it's a bad thing, but I'd like to have had that myself.
Well, Connie, let me jump in there real quick. Let me jump in there and say, because we're going to head to a short break, and I hope you can hold on during the break, because I want to talk to you about the actual construction aspect of the special session. But I think it's fair to point out that the man who did shoot Sergeant Reisner, that he was not out because of the bill that was just passed. He was out, though, because of what you described earlier, which is an overly lenient system of dealing with violent criminals. And so he was out far too early, but now we face the possibility that more violent criminals are going to get out at least a year ahead of what might already have been a lighter sentence than they should have gotten, wearing an ankle monitor and walking around society. All right, folks, hang on. We'll be right back with more with State Representative Connie Rowe, who knows the deal. She's down in Montgomery on the floor of the House dealing with issues, and she's going to talk about prison construction when we come back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams here on Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. You can also listen to us live online anytime at rightsideradio.org, where you can download podcasted segments of the show or listen to us live no matter where you is. There we is. Just click Listen Live on the rightsideradio.org website. Hey, we're going back to the phones, talking to my friend, State Representative Connie Rowe. And Connie, listen, I'm also glad to see the State Attorney General Steve Marshall came out pretty hard against that sentencing reform that we just talked about. But then also on the aspect of prison construction, one of the things that, you know, when I was in the Senate and we had, you know, the Bentley's attempts to do something about prison construction, at one point there was a bond, and I'm not even for bonding. I hate the idea of government debt personally, but I remember there were at least two prison guards, one of whom was knifed in a prison riot while I was in office. And I remember thinking, those are our troops. We've got to do something better. And I was willing to even go to the bond route at that point to try and build new facilities. And our current facilities are pretty unsafe for our, and those guys are law enforcement of a different breed, but they're law enforcement nonetheless. They're doing the job. And they're in some pretty stiff environments right now.
Yes, it's very, very difficult for them to recruit and to hire, correct, in the facilities that currently exist in this state. The prisons who have dorm-style areas where there's three beds high, you know, you can't see from one set of beds to the next set of beds. I mean, huge rooms with just rows and rows and rows and rows and rows of bunk beds. They're just extremely unsafe.
They're just warehousing,
you know,
people.
You can't carry a weapon onto those floors. It's just a horrible set of circumstances to work in.
Well, one of the things that in this prison construction bill y'all passed, the most important thing to consider was it was going to build two new 4,000-bed facilities, which would result also in the shutting down of some of our more aged and somewhat archaic and unsafe facilities. So 8,000 new beds is what we're talking about here, but there's a pretty stiff price tag, $1.2 billion. Tell me about the debate on cost and how this went down and whether or not the expense is going to be something we can meet.
Well, you know, had we done this back in 2015, and we came very, very close to doing it in 2015, had we been able to pull this off in 2015, we would have had a price tag that we could have lived with a lot easier. But we haven't done it. We kicked the can down the road for a series of reasons. And here we are with an absolute dire circumstance, in that if we don't do something, we're going to have federal intervention. So there came a point in time where it was, you know, how can we argue with how much it costs? It keeps going up every day, every month, every year. We're going to have to just stop kicking the can down the road and do something immediately. Because if the federal government comes in and takes over, and of course we don't have the federal government we had a couple of years ago, we have the one that we have today, they're not going to be kind to us. They're not going to worry about a price tag. They're going to do what they want to do, and we'll just have to pay for it. So the price tag is steep, and there's a lot of conversation about the amount of money that will come out of what a lot of people call COVID money, but actually is money that came back to the state in lost sales tax revenue, That would have gone into the general fund had COVID not happened and we collected those tax revenues. And that's where we pay for prisons. A huge portion, about 50% of the general fund budget, is already geared for prisons. We're to the point of, it's like when something happens with your home, you have a hole in your roof, whether or not you amount that it cost, it's simply got to be done. Or somebody's going to come in and do it for you and hand you a bill.
Yeah. Well, and that's where we're at. And I do agree with the need. I get concerned about the price tag. But one of the things you just mentioned there was the fact that at least $400 million or so of the overall expense right now is coming from funds that are being sent by the federal government. And there was a bit of a tiff there at the very end. Some Democrats, including Jerry Nadler, of all people, up in D.C., that wrote a letter to Treasury asking them not to approve the use of those funds for the purposes of prison construction. And so with about the 1 minute we got left, Connie, if you wouldn't mind telling me, is there any fear that $400 million is not going to be accessible for the purposes of prison? Are we going to wind up having to spend bond money more than we had planned?
I think it's there. I think it's there, and I think it's at the determination of the governor how that money is applied. I think that she has very graciously agreed to go out on a limb and apply it for this purpose. I just don't think we're going to have a problem with it. Let me say this while we're wrapping things up. What absolutely kills me is how liberals talk about not paying for new prisons. They're supposed to be the warm, fuzzy folks. We're supposed to not be the warm, fuzzy folks. But for the human beings that we are charged with locking up and taking care of, I don't want them to have a Taj Mahal or a television or meet their own personal self-actualization. But if we are going to house them and supervise them safely and care anything about whether or not we can feed them, give them a shelter, and protect the folks who are in there working to control their movements, then how is it that you could oppose new prisons that provide better circumstances for prisoners? It's just a very curious thing to me.
It is. And Connie, you always provide good commentary. And I'm especially now just going to be using the phrase self-actualization of prisoners every time I talk about this.
I'm not for it.
All right, folks. My friend, State Representative Connie Rowe from House District 13 over in Jasper, she knows the deal. And Connie, thanks
good
so much for your time.
You.
Absolutely. You too. Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. We'll be right back with more right after this.